This episode of K-Voice was recorded at 6:05 p.m., March 18th, 2018. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
K-Voice of Resistance!
Hi, this is K-Voice of Resistance, and I'm your host, Kelly. So this podcast is recorded a few days earlier than I normally do. I needed to adjust for a time crunch that I'm working with this week. So, since I'm recording this on a lazy Sunday, and no news happens after Thursdays in politics, I guess I'm just gonna have to work extra hard to try and find things to talk about. Just kidding. I'm gonna run down the crazy headlines just since Friday, and I'm gonna move fast, because I imagine most of these things are a review for you guys at this point, with our shell shock politics the way it is, and at this point may even feel like old news already. Here's a selection of headlines from Friday, March 16th. Donald, at long, long last, finally got around to imposing sanctions on Russia for the 2016 meddling. It's too little and awfully late, but it's something. I don't know. We'll give him a silver star. We found out that Donald's national security advisor, H.R. McMaster, may be voted off the island soon. The Washington Post reported that Donald is about to make it official, and depending on who he puts in his place, it could be a terrifying prospect. Not just for our country, but for the world. But I'm not stressing until it happens, because I can't spend my energy on rumor. Mueller to the rescue!
We hope.
Mueller subpoenaed the Trump Organization's records. Ha ha.
I wonder if Donald feels like the walls are closing in.
Rumor has it that Republicans suspect they blew it on their fictional Russia report. See, Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee ended their Russia investigation into the 2016 elections, declaring boldly that there was absolutely no
None. Zilch
evidence that Vlad Putin tried to help Donald win.
Not once.
Now, the smart move, and we know that Nunes and his cronies are not exactly what we would call smart, but the smart move would have been to simply announce
no collusion
in all caps just so Donald could understand it and be done with it. But no, they couldn't help themselves. See, the problem is that the intelligence community, the entirety of the intelligence community, which most people still respect and which has no reason to lie, has reached a consensus that Putin did indeed try to help Donald win the 2016 election. And some Republicans, Mr. Benghazi himself, pinhead Trey Gowdy, even broke from their hive mind and gave pushback on the report.
Russia attacked our country. Let Special Counsel Mueller figure that out.
And now, the GOP pig dogs of the House are holding closed-door meetings to figure out how they can repair the damage they did. And as an aside, I heard one of the talking heads on TV point out that the Republicans lost one of their better tools for muddying the waters of the Mueller probe by shuttering the investigation. Now they lost a useful platform.
Idiots.
No collusion.
You're a loser.
We found out that there is trouble in paradise for the parasites. Don Jr.'s wife is leaving him.
Bye-bye!
And then on Friday, FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe was cruelly fired by Donald's evil pet leprechaun. Jefferson Bugad Sessions, Friday evening. Just about 20 hours or something before he was to retire, screwing him out of his hard-earned pension, maybe. And now I won't go much into this because every news outlet is doing plenty of that. I'm just going to read this assessment from the guys at Electoral Vote. Quote, "The problem for Trump is that, yet again, he has put short-term gain ahead of long-term pain. Here are the main problems he just created for himself. It is inconceivable that Donald Trump gained a single vote for himself or for his party Friday night. Undoubtedly, there are many in the Breitbart InfoWars crowd that truly believe that McCabe was a shill, a mole, a Clinton lackey, etc. But they were already voting for Trump.
Make America great again! Whoa! Yeah, baby!
Nobody was brought into the Trump camp with the firing. On the other hand, the president's decision looks petty and selfish and politicizes the law enforcement apparatus, which is supposed to be and needs to be apolitical." Unquote. And the good news is, as both the right thing to do and as a slap across Donald's petty little petulant puckered face, several Democratic lawmakers have offered McCabe a job for a day or two so that he can retire with full benefits. Though, according to Slate, despite these offers, it remains far from clear whether McCabe will indeed lose his retirement benefits and whether a temporary job in Congress would actually help restore them. I'll give the last word on this issue to former CIA Director John Brennan. It is a tweet you likely saw, but it definitely deserves repeating. In a tweet to Donald after he was reveling in his ill-conceived and cowardly firing of McCabe, Brennan wrote, quote, "When the full extent of your venality, moral turpitude, and political corruption becomes known, you will take your rightful place as a disgraced demagogue in the dustbin of history. You may scapegoat Andy McCabe, but you will not destroy America. America will triumph over you." Unquote. So now Saturday rolls around, March 17th. There was more president and porn star news.
Oh, yeah.
Donald wants more tariffs as early as this week. Donald intends to impose tariffs on at least $30 billion worth of Chinese exports to the U.S. The tariffs could hit high-tech products like semiconductors, but also low-tech products like shoes. And it's a move that will further do what Donald does best, divide the country, while taking us another step closer to a full-blown trade war. We found out that Russia could have turned off our electricity. And the Department of Homeland Security has accused Russia of infiltrating, get this, the power grid, along with other pieces of critical infrastructure.
How scary is this?
And we're talking including nuclear power plants, water, aviation, and manufacturing. Why are we not at DEFCON 1? Pennsylvania's GOP is asking for an investigation into their election when Democrat Connor Lamb triumphed over Republican Rick Saccone. It's a strange twist for the GOP, who, when it comes to voting concerns, can't see past the hordes of undocumented immigrants who vote twice or whatever. But the Pennsylvania Republican Party here has sent a letter requesting that Pennsylvania's Secretary of State, Robert Torres, conduct an investigation into what they call a number of irregularities in last week's election in Pennsylvania 18. They have found all sorts of things to quibble about, from improperly calibrated voting machines to unclear directions to polling places on the secretary's website to voters not appearing on voter rolls. Because of course this can't have anything to do with them or their policies or their terrible candidate. And you know, I don't even know why they're even bothering, seeing as the district won't exist come November because the courts are making them redistrict their illegally gerrymandered asses. Get this. In view of Connor Lamb's victory in Pennsylvania 18, the nonpartisan Cook Political Report has moved another 9 races in the direction of Team Blue. But don't get complacent. It doesn't mean that those races are blue for sure. They're just a little less red. Cambridge Analytica stole 50 million Facebook profiles, the data analytics firm that worked with Donald Trump's election team and the winning Brexit campaign, harvested the profiles of U.S. voters and used them to build a powerful software program to predict and influence choices at the ballot box. And if that was not enough, unsurprisingly at this point, Cambridge Analytica has links to Russia!
There is absolutely no collusion. That has been proven.
All roads lead back to Russia. And finally, Representative Louise Slaughter died. She was the oldest member of Congress, and she died at 88. She represented an upstate New York district in the House for over 30 years. She broke open a lot of doors that women never had in her time. Her death will force a special election to replace her. But she is from a Democratic district, so if all things go well, we should be okay. But let's take nothing for granted. Okay, let's move on to some stuff that's less in the headlines, but still in the news. Because times are crazy, folks.
Chicken squawk! Chicken squawk!
Okay, kids. Regulations are protections. Regulations... So, okay, say it with me. Regulations are...
Protections!
Good job. In this case, they are protections for animals. On Monday, the USDA announced that it will withdraw yet another Obama-era rule. This one would have set new animal welfare standards for farmers producing meat, milk, and eggs labeled USDA organic. Some of the stipulations, this makes me sick. Some of the stipulations of the rule included animals would have daily access to the outdoors, and enclosed porches would not qualify as outdoor access. Certain practices would be prohibited, including de-beaking and forced molting of chickens and tail docking of cattle. That's removing their tails. Chickens that produce eggs would be entitled to about 1 and 2 square feet of space per bird, depending on the size of the bird and the type of housing. See, many people think that the term organic means humanely raised, but it's just not true. For example, many certified organic eggs actually come from hens jam-packed into windowless barns.
Donald Trump is trying to shake off his worst week yet on the campaign trail with an interview in the Washington Post.
Republican presidential candidate Donald Jackass Trump told the Washington Post that he would get rid of the national debt over a period of eight years. Well, according to CNBC, under Donald's watch, our national debt topped $21 trillion for the first time ever. According to the U.S. Treasury data, when Donald took office in January 20th, 2017, the national debt was $19.9 trillion. Between defense spending and the tax scam that the GOP passed, we can officially say that the fabled fiscal conservatism that Republicans have built their whole brand on is officially dead.
It's 2018, and it's about time we started breaking down some barriers here in the Senate.
Amazingly, American hero, veteran, and Senator Tammy Duckworth will soon be the first U.S. Senator in history to give birth while in office.
That's crazy.
And like so many women across the United States, she will effectively be punished for doing so. Should she take any maternity leave, she will be barred from voting or sponsoring any legislation. And even if she doesn't take leave, she will likely be forced to miss voting times because her nursing infant will be barred from the Senate floor. In a time when women need her vote on our side, Duckworth is due next month and has been single-handedly working to right some of these wrongs. She told CNN, quote, "My leadership of the Democratic Party have been very supportive. We're going to request a rules change so that during the first year of the child's life, whether you're a woman or a man, you're breastfeeding or not, you've adopted or something, you should be able to bring that child on the floor and continue to do your job," unquote. Oh, we have good news. Well, kind of. I mean, it's news that's good, but it shouldn't have had to be news in the first place. DeAndre Harris, the black man who we saw the video of being brutally beaten after that tiki torch white nationalist pep rally last August in Charlottesville, has been found not guilty of the misdemeanor assault for his role in the incident. A wannabe Nazi charged him with assault, which was ridiculous, and all the sad little white pride creatures were all kinds of happy about it. Well, ha! The city's general district court handed down the ruling on Friday. So gold star goes to the court for doing what is right. Because we all too well know that there was no guarantees there.
Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter!
Okay, so there is this primary election coming up in Illinois' 3rd Congressional District. Progressive Marie Newman is running against Representative Dan Lipinski. The dude has spent years undermining progressive causes. He actually chaired the anti-choice caucus in the House. He has voted with Republicans against women's rights, against Obamacare, against LGBTQ equality, against Dreamers, and more.
What?
Now, ABC, pundits on NBC, people all over the place are trying to frame this primary as the centrist against the progressives, or Hillary voters versus Bernie voters.
Who will win left? What does this mean for the party? What direction is the party going into?
It's absurd. To call this guy a centrist is journalistic malpractice. The dude is just a right-wing asshole running under the Democratic label. This district is solidly blue. Hillary won it by 15 points in the 2016 election, and Bernie won the district by 8 points in the Democratic primary. So I'm not worried about him winning, but if you are in Illinois' 3rd, be sure to vote. Democrats don't need this asshole in the party.
Vote him out! Vote him out!
All right, let's change gears. It has been nearly 6 months since Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico. I checked in with my friend Rosie, who lives in Puerto Rico, to see how things were going. She said that murders were at an all-time high, so was unemployment, that over 100 schools had closed. Quote, "The cost of food is ridiculous. Some days we have no water, and I consider myself lucky because I have power most days." Unquote. She said that the insurance companies are not paying and small businesses are closing right and left, including her favorite restaurant, which had opened up in 1976. Quote, "Hardworking people are being left out in the cold every day. homelessness is growing at an alarming speed, unquote. She then reminded me that we still have no clue how many deaths actually occurred due to Hurricanes Irma and Maria. Quote, the only hospital running 100% or close to it is Centro Medico. Doctors are leaving in droves. There are others, but they're not working at capacity. The chaos is amazing. Unquote. Her mom died during Hurricane Irma, and she told me that it took her a month to get her mom cremated. When I asked how she was holding up, personally, she said, quote, I keep the faith, but the anger and frustration is bubbling just beneath the surface. The one word that I could say describes this now is weary, unquote. According to USA Today and other sources, 200,000 families, which is about 16% of the island, are still without power. But the power people do have is inconsistent at best, and outages are weekly. And FEMA has a lot of tough questions to answer about how badly they screwed up the contracts they handed out for the recovery effort. San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulin Cruz.
I am done being polite. I am done being politically correct.
That awesome woman who fought with Donald because people were dying and he was playing paper towel fairy. She said that, quote, wheels are spinning, but things don't seem to get off the ground, unquote. USA Today reported on the darkened moods of Puerto Ricans. Outside of their daily stresses, they are faced with a mental health crisis due to the losses so many experienced during the hurricanes and continue to experience. They're having problems with their schools. Puerto Rico has a Betsy DeVos-like Secretary of Education. Her name is Julia Keeler. Keeler is neither Puerto Rican, nor does she have any real experience in education. She seized on the devastation of Hurricane Maria to intensify a drive for weakening union rights, implementing a longer school day and school year, attacking pension and healthcare, and preparing the way to do away with public schools. Spinning the same lies that we hear here about the benefits of charter schools and school vouchers. And get this, Keeler, the education secretary, makes even more than Betsy DeVos does. As quote-unquote consultant jobs for friends and family of senators have average salaries of $7,000 a month. Meanwhile, she's closed 100 schools already. The students are either not going to school or crammed into overstuffed classrooms, and there's a shortage of teachers. On Monday, the teachers are staging a walkout to the Capitol to protest the privatization that was passed by Puerto Rico's House and is coming up for a vote in the Senate. And if the Senate passes it, and then Governor Roselló signs it, which he will, they can say hello to charter schools and vouchers, under which families could get public school money to pay for tuition at those private schools.
That's not helping.
Disaster capitalism, folks. The City University of New York Center for Puerto Rican Studies estimates that 135,592 Puerto Ricans have left and resettled on the main U.S. continent. Centro's researchers estimate that Puerto Rico could lose around 470,000 residents between 2017 and 2019. For perspective, between 2006 and 2016, they lost about that same amount of people between the years of 2006 and 2016, over 10 years. But this loss will be over a year or two. And they're mostly millennials who are leaving. They're basically losing an entire generation of their population. So what they're left with is a rapidly aging population, diminishing healthcare, education, and utility investments, all of which already contributed to the fiscal stress and vicious cycle Puerto Rico now faces. So Congress approved $23 billion in funds, but only a fraction has actually been spent in Puerto Rico. A $4.7 billion loan was approved last year for Texas, Florida, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico, but it was reduced by the U.S. Treasury Department to $2 billion for Puerto Rico, which hasn't even been distributed yet. And according to The Intercept, it is not clear that it ever will be distributed. According to the director of Puerto Rico's Central Recovery and Reconstruction Office, of the $23 billion, Puerto Rico has so far received only $1.27 billion for its Federal Assistance Nutrition Program and $430 million to help repair public infrastructure. Last week, 58 U.S. legislators sent a letter to U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin demanding the agency expedite the loan process and offer the full amount. But Mnuchin testified to a U.S. House of Representatives subcommittee that Puerto Rico's government was delaying the process by making unreasonable demands. which he refused to specify. And programs funded with FEMA money, like generators for rural wells, have yet to reach thousands of Puerto Ricans. The disheartening failure of our government keeps taking its toll. For example, the Longview News Journal reports that in Barrio Mana, neighbors cleared a small piece of land 5 months ago after meeting with federal officials who pledged to provide a generator to pump water from the neighborhood's well. But 5 months later, they never showed up. All this and the Atlantic hurricane season is rapidly approaching. Most Puerto Ricans are living in third world conditions. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of Puerto Ricans are still waiting for a permanent shelter. In the Senate, there's a bill proposed that could help called the Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands Equitable Rebuild Act. It's also referred to as Marshall Plan for the territories. This bill was authored by Bernie Sanders and would provide $146 billion to Puerto Rico's recovery. It would forgive its debt and would establish Medicaid and Medicare parity. Unlike the U.S., the federal government subjects Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands to annual Medicaid caps. It's a bill worth calling your senators about. Call 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. Texas is still rebuilding after Hurricane Harvey, and as predicted, the red state is taking full advantage of disaster capitalism. That, coupled with harsh immigration laws, is effectively creating slave labor. The Intercept reports that a survey of storm recovery workers showed that they are primarily long-term residents of the Houston area who are undocumented immigrants from Mexico and Central America. Texas has this stupid state law that lets police request the immigration status of anyone they detain or arrest, which has made most workers reluctant to report abuse. The law is in the courts, but the U.S. Fifth Circuit ruled last week that most of the law can take effect, even while it is appealed. It's a mess, guys. A very predictable mess, but a mess. It was St. Patrick's Day this past weekend. I hope everyone was safe and blew off some steam. In Detroit, there was a kind of discrimination happening that had not happened in many years in this country. Enough years that people had lost sight of it being such a dramatic part of our culture that it seemed in the very fabric of America's DNA. In 1852, due to the potato famine in Ireland, 1 million people had perished. In desperation, another 2 million left the only home they had ever known, and in what History.com calls the largest single population movement of the 19th century, set out for a new life. Most of the exiles, nearly a quarter of the Irish nation, landed at the feet of Lady Liberty, tired, poor, and huddled masses that they were. They washed up on the shores of the United States. This is from History.com. Quote, "Conflict between Protestants and Catholics in the United States had already broken out in violence before the first potato plant wilted in Ireland. Anti-Catholic, anti-Irish mobs in Philadelphia destroyed houses and torched churches in the deadly Bible riots of 1844. Wild conspiracy theories took root that women were held against their will in Catholic convents and that priests systematically raped nuns and then strangled any children born as a result of their union." Unquote. The Irish filled the most menial and dangerous jobs, often at low pay. Americans were enraged and claimed the Irish were taking their jobs. Signs went up on buildings saying no Irish allowed, and in newspapers under classifieds, it read no Irish need apply. There was much violence and a sharp rise in nativism. Abraham Lincoln was among the many Americans disturbed at the rise of the nativist movement. Nativists is the policy of protecting the interests of native inhabitants against those of immigrants, like nationalists. And from the nativist sprung the Know-Nothing Party. Abraham Lincoln explained in an 1855 letter, quote, "As a nation, we began by declaring that all men are created equal. We now practically read it, all men are created equal except Negroes. When the Know-Nothings get control, it will read all men are created equal except Negroes and foreigners and Catholics. When it comes to this, I should prefer immigrating to some country where they make no pretense about loving liberty. To Russia, for instance, where despotism can be taken pure and without the base alloy of hypocrisy." Unquote. Tensions finally began to ease as the Irish were very politically engaged, and with time, they rose in class and in politics, just as the influx of immigrants from China and southern and eastern Europe took hold in the 1880s and 1890s. No longer condemned to the lowest rung of American society, the Irish gained acceptance in the mainstream by dishing out the same bigotry towards newcomers that they themselves had experienced. The nativist fears and proclamations never came true, of course. The refugees, the 32 million Americans with predominantly Irish roots, strengthened the United States. A country that once reviled the Irish now wears green on St. Patrick's Day and celebrates them. On this St. Patrick's Day in Detroit, a man named Dan DeMargolis opened a fake pub called the No Irish Pub and stationed a bouncer out front who refused anyone from entering who was Irish or even wearing green. He did so to make a point.
No Irish pub? Is that the name of it or something? Or?
We don't allow Irish people.
I love Irish people.
Why?
Because this is what it is.
They're lazy. Can't come in here if you're Irish today. Sorry, can't let you
come
in.
On.
No.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
No
I mean,
Irish pub.
This is an elite establishment. We don't associate with lower class citizens. Immigrants are destroying this country, man.
Are you serious?
Are you guys Irish?
Yes. Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Why would you want to associate yourself with a servant race?
You don't like Irish?
No.
Hey. Look at the help wanted. No Irish. Irish.
Why are you racist against Irish?
Well, you want them stealing your job? Are you Irish?
Yes.
Go back to your own country.
No.
We don't need no more immigrants in this country. They're ruining this country.
You, buddy.
The majority of them aren't helping anybody but themselves, really. I mean,
it's up, dude.
They all work their off.
Why would you want to be Irish?
You are what you are.
Be American, man.
I am. I'm American as it gets.
McGillis said, quote, "On a day when everyone is proclaiming solidarity with an immigrant group, we wanted them to feel what it was like to be treated like an Irish immigrant years ago in this country. And hopefully, that would get them to think about the way we treat current immigrant groups." Unquote. He was inspired by the media coverage of Dreamers and DACA to do this. He says, quote, "Anything that I think that allows people to experience what it was like to be discriminated against firsthand, I think it's good. It shocks people into empathy. I would absolutely do something like this again." Unquote. God, it makes one wonder if we are doomed to repeat our mistakes and act on the worst parts of our human natures over and over and over again. But so long as there are people like Dan Margulis working to open minds and hearts, maybe, just maybe, we stand a chance. Okay. All right, guys, do you feel voiceless? Are you tired of lamenting about the state of the world to your friends and family, but would like a platform upon which you can really flesh out your views and ideas? Check out the Your News section on the Citizen Truth website. That's at citizentruth.org. Citizen Truth is an independent and alternative media organization that's dedicated to finding the truth, ending the left-right paradigm, and widening the scope of viewpoints represented in the media and our daily conversations. And they, besides crab diving, host my podcast. Citizen Truth believes in the power of citizen journalism, and they're encouraging you, us, to submit our own news. Quote, "You are the news. So you witness the news, now you can report the news directly to your peers. It is an opportunity to cut out the corporate middleman." Unquote. All you do is go to citizentruth.org and create a profile, and then you can submit your news article. Citizen Truth was created by a woman named Lauren von Bernuth, who I'm very proud to say has become a good friend of mine. Her hope and vision is to give people a chance to speak to each other and have a voice. I'm also willing to bet that if you are listening to my show, you have something to say that is worth saying. So check it out. That's my time. Thank you for sticking with me and this episode of K, Voice of Resistance. You can stream or download this show at crabdevy.com under the K Voice tab or on your favorite podcasting app. I'm also at citizentruth.org. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice and on Facebook, where you will find all the stories I've discussed in this show and more at KVOICE of Resistance. If you want to laugh and rage at your liberal progressive news, I suggest checking out the Crab Dubbing Podcast with hosts Patrick Vile and comedian Ryan Pfeiffer, 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. All right. Take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist.
Resist! The end!